All right, good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. I have to confess, last week I was really impressed that we all moved over to this section here, and then it dawned on me during class that the video is over here. So, but good to see you all this morning. The class, once again, or week two, classes, Your Walk with God is a community project. So last week, we worked on what does our walk with God look like? Why are we sometimes ineffective and unfruitful in our walk with the Lord? And Paul Tripp was looking at 1 Peter chapter 1 to kind of use that as his point of contact where Peter is speaking to these things. And then eventually we'll get to the point where we're talking more about how that walk is a community project. It's there. Throughout these videos, but we're kind of establishing what our walk looks like. And like I said, last week is what makes us unfruitful or unproductive. And this week we're going to talk about what our identity is, and that's going to kind of tie into that topic or that theme from last week. So for our opening discussion, once again, we'll do our opening discussion, and then after that, we'll watch the DVD this morning. So what do you see as your biggest problem in trying to live in an effective and productive life? And maybe with this question is helpful. You may know the right answer, but maybe it's helpful to say, functionally, this is what I see as what it means to live an effective and productive life. Time. If I just had more time, I could be effective and productive. Distractions. If I had less distractions, yeah, that would help me be more productive. So just too many circumstances coming in and taking away my attention, keeping me from doing the things that I want to do. Go ahead, Dan.
I was gonna say children, but actually probably more.
Yeah. Go ahead, Big. Yeah, so with the opening discussion, we have a problem here of you have your handout. So you either know the right answer of what it is from Christ's perspective, or you can look at your handout and get the answer. So this is meant to be like a baseline of what do we see. So you may know the right answer, and that's kind of your baseline definition of the more biblical answer. You may have that, or sometimes we have answers that are kind of how we function day to day. So we can give both answers. So, go ahead.
But effective and productive, that be defined by that second Peter text.
Yeah.
Growing in these things, we have these things in
place. Yeah, correct. So those terms being defined by the first Peter text, and yeah, that's a. This question is definitely governed by how we're defining those terms, and we are defining those terms as 1 Peter would define them. For our second question, what is your understanding of having a dual identity, that is, living as a fallen human being and a child of grace? How do you tend to think about that? Go ahead, Adam. Yeah. That is ironic that is misspelled. I really appreciate that. That makes me smile. I love that. Yeah. So yeah, that's part of our understanding, is they are fighting against one another. That's a good understanding. Maybe one other comment on this, because we'll keep our opening questions probably pretty short. Go ahead. Or let's do two. I'm Randy, and then we'll have you share, Steve.
As a fallen person, we're seeing with our eyes the things around us that distract us. And as a child of grace, we're supposed to be seen by faith.
Mm-hmm.
So we're
Yeah, correct. So which set of eyes are we using? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we certainly need to be aware. We'll go one more. Yeah. I mean, our dual identities, our fallen nature. That's why we need the gospel and we experience the gospel. And then one day we will be able to look back on that, and that will be a great. It'll be great to be able to look back on that and to have experienced that and to know that, and just how you drew out of the angel's desire to understand that. So let's go ahead and we'll watch our DVD, and then we'll circle back, do our key points and our discussion questions. All right, so definitely unpacking a core truth, hitting us with a core truth about our identity, about our dual identity, and as we kind of said in our opening discussion, we would expect D-U-A-L, but the D-U-E-L is probably intentional to help us understand how these things, they seem to fight against each other, but I think we'll see that it's when we embrace them both that we're helped. Not that we want to embrace our fallen nature, but when we understand it. It helps us to then feed into being a consumer of grace and relying on the Lord. So I'm going to read the key points. I'm just going to read them, and then we'll look at the discussion questions to try and tease them out a little bit more. So first key point, as Christians, we can be very skilled at arguing for righteousness and forget that we constantly need the forgiveness and grace of God each day. We forget that we constantly need the forgiveness and grace of God each day. And then second key point, our biggest problem is not outside of us, but rather inside of us, and therefore we need to attach ourselves constantly to Christ and His grace for daily fruitful living. So when we make mistakes, we can fall into the trap of self-justification. Why, as Christians, do we continue to make mistakes, and why do we struggle to confess our failures? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the old man has died, but the flesh is still operative in some capacity there. So yeah, that part of our identity is why we continue to make mistakes. Why do we continue to, in light of that, or maybe by not having that in light or in mind, why do we struggle to confess our failures? Yeah, we just don't recognize them as failures. I think he talked about that idea. We kind of get comfortable and there's a blindness. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our pride is always in the way. I think for our purposes this morning, we can read mistakes as sin or falling short of the glory of God. So our pride, I think that's something, you know, we can, our pride certainly is why this happens, and then there's a spiritual blindness that we've hit on. So that's why as we move forward in the class, if I'm proud and I'm blind to my sin, well, what do I need? Well, I need the grace of God, but I need others to come alongside and point me to the grace of God, point out my sin. We need each other. I think there's a couple other reasons why we struggle to confess our failures that are, let's see if we can dig out a couple others. Go ahead. Yeah. So if we haven't taken ownership, if we haven't seen ourselves as a problem, then we're going to be very quick to confess or to struggle to confess our failures. I think a couple of things I thought of is, you know, if our identity is not in Christ, but in what others think, we're not going to want to confess our failures. We're going to be quick to self-justify, to try and maintain that fakeness or that facade, or even if our identity is in our performance, and the works that we do to try and please God, incorrectly and as part of our fallen nature, then we're going to be quick to want to protect and self-justify. Roger pointed us down this road, so we'll go to our second question. It says, our biggest problem is not outside of us, but rather inside of us. Why do we often fail to identify this problem? So we'll answer that, and then we'll move to the second question there. Yeah, so getting back, just underlining in our pride, it's easier to blame others. Our circumstances, we can have a victim mentality that, well, I'm sinning because this is happening to me, rather than I'm sinning because I still have a fallen fallen nature that I'm dealing with, and I can take ownership of that, or I need to take ownership of that. And though, so when we're able to see that, hey, I'm still wrestling with a fallen nature, and when I can take ownership of that, how does this help us to live lives that are more fruitful? When I can kind of lay my pride down and take ownership of that nature, how does that help us live lives that are more fruitful? Yeah. So many things of life are ordained by the Lord, and are, you know, all things obviously are, but those things are out of our control. We're not God. We don't control everything. So if we can understand our fallen nature and understand that I don't control all those things, then we're in a position of we're taking responsibility for that and how we respond to that. I think that's part of the answer. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure. So if he talked about those two pillars, our identity as a fallen human being, and then our identity as a child of grace, when we see that we are human beings with a fallen nature, when we can truly see that, then that's going to say, okay, this is my problem, this is me. Now let me seek out the Lord. Let me seek the godliness that has been given to me as a gift, and let me seek the Spirit's help to then live a fruitful and productive life. So our sin, when we see it, just points us to Christ and our need for Him and our need to live out of His grace and to not do things on our own and try and just self-justify and skirt the problem and try and do it on our own accord. Go ahead, Roger.
They're a gift from God because He loves us.
Yeah.
And so when I think about this question, if we haven't recognized that our greatest need is this problem that's within us, then we've sort of vaccinated ourselves against the means by which God will bring about change.
Yeah.
And so if I say, I'm not the problem, circumstances are the problem, then when these gifts come to me to bring about change, I'm resistant to that. I just need to get away from difficult circumstances. Rather than lean into that and say, Lord, change my heart. You've given me kids that are trying my patience because I am not a patient man, and I need to grow in patience.
Mm-hmm.
So that, as far as how that helps, how does that help us be more productive and more fruitful instead of resenting these circumstances? Lord, help me to grow and change and become more godly.
Yeah, so if we're not understanding that nature and we've walled ourselves off, from that being the root issue, then we miss the gifts that the Lord is giving us to point that out and to drive us to the gospel. Yeah, excellent point. Any other thoughts on that second question? Yeah, so we have, when we self-justify, we feel like we have a power to do something about this, but really we have zero power. We have zero power in and of ourselves and in and of our fallen nature, but it's Christ and His work that brings the power, yeah, to be able to change. And so that's why we need to understand both identities, so that way we can understand that we don't have power. Like you said, we have no righteousness to parade. We have no power to extol or to lean on. We have nothing to lean on. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good text to illustrate definitely what we're talking about here. Yeah, thank you, Holiday. So Christ has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So he has given us everything we need. Why do we often turn these grace gifts into a list of do's and don'ts? And how can we avoid that? Go ahead, Dan.
I think we often turn them into do's and don'ts so that we can take some sort of credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wanting to take credit, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think when we turn things into a to-do list, it is something that we're trying to do to simplify it. Yeah, I think that's a great point. Yeah, that's a great question. So the list is good, and they are things that we are to do, but it's the manner in which we're doing them. Is it a simple to-do list that I'm trying to do out of my own strength, or do I see these qualities that are to be mine and are to be increasing? Do I recognize that the Lord died so that I could do those things, and am I then relying on him to do those things by his grace within the complexity of life? That's what I would say for that. These are all just pulling out of what Christ has done for us, and I think that's something where we can talk about it here, and then it's another thing to work that out, you know, in day-to-day life, for sure.
Maybe just an additional clarification on that question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Still trying to self-justify.
Yeah.
And so if I'm looking at those things and saying, I checked this off because this makes me feel better or this makes me appear better,
mm-hmm.
Then I'm still falling into the trap of self-justification, and this isn't the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But rather, it's what James says in the book of James, when he says, a faith that's alive is a faith that will manifest itself with good things that you do.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. The heart, kind of the heart disposition, is very important there. And those things will flow out of our dandy, for sure. I think he talked about the first half. He's like, well, this is kind of. He kind of jokes that it's a little bit discouraging, you know, talking about our fallen nature. And in a sense, it is discouraging. But I think as we can think of these two identities that we have, boy, there's a lot of freedom in understanding that I'm not called to self-justify myself. The Lord is the one who justifies me. So we can understand that I am living with the fallen nature. I'm going to sin. I'm going to make mistakes, and that's not that that's okay. But it's part of where the Lord has us, so we can have a humility, and knowing that I'm going to sin and I'm going to make mistakes, we can confess those things to the Lord, and He is faithful to cleanse us from those things, and we can seek to walk out of our new identity as a child of grace. So I think obviously, being a child of grace, that's encouraging. But I think even as we think of where we are in the here and now with our fallen nature, if we're really understanding that, there's a lot of freedom there that frees us up to not have these false identities that we're constructing, and rather cling to the Lord and His work to make us a child of grace. So let's go ahead and pray and close our time. Lord, we do thank You for these truths that we have from 1 Peter to hold on to, Lord. We pray that You would help us to not be just astounded by Your word, as we saw. As possible, we can be astounded by Your works and Your word, Lord. Help us instead to walk by faith, Lord, to seek Your help, to live these things out and to rely on them. That we may be fruitful and productive, that we may live out of the gifts that You have already given to us, Lord. Father, we pray that as we come across situations that pressure us and tempt us to respond poorly, would You help us to respond to those in a way that's honoring to You, Lord? Would You help us to live out of our identity as children of grace, Lord? And just keep us centered on Christ and what He has done for us. Please hold us back from those to-do lists and approaching those as things that we are to do in our own power. Just keep us cognizant of how we are dependent on You and Your grace to live as You have called us to live and to do the things that You have made possible for us to do in our new nature, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.